So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin and Indiana have traditionally been number one and number two in the number of manufacturing jobs in the nation. But a new report by Forward Analytics, it's called An Economic Evolution, says that Wisconsin's economy is slowly transitioning to higher skilled, higher paying jobs. To talk about that report is the author of that report, Dale Knapp, who's director of Forward Analytics. Welcome back to Wisconsin Eye, Dale.
Glad to be here, Steve.
So you looked at the window of 2012 through 2018. Let's start first on the technology and construction jobs growing fastest. We're going to put up that graphic. So can you kind of walk us through that, please?
Sure,
By these different occupations?
Yeah, the data comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they classify over 800 occupations, a big number. They also narrow it down by occupational group. So this looks at the growth by group.
Yep.
And it's not surprising that construction is up there. You know, since 2012 or so, we've really seen a boom in construction, particularly in the southern part of the state. Mm-hmm. But to the west as well.
Two.
That's number two.
Number
one is computer and mathematical.
It's your chart. I should let you talk about it.
Sure. Number one is computer and mathematical, and that was somewhat surprising. In that it's a very high skill. At the same time, it's not surprising because every company needs computer analysts, systems analysts, et cetera. So that goes across industries, across companies, and we're seeing more and more technology, and we need people that can build that technology and maintain that technology. So, almost 30% growth over 6 years, which is very impressive.
Right. And next category, community and social services, sir?
Yeah,
up 23%?
Yeah. And this is really a wide range of occupations that from some of these are government jobs that in the social services. Some of them are can be nurses, aides, et cetera. So it's really a wide range. There, whereas the computer and math jobs are very high paying jobs, the mm-hmm. construction are generally good paying jobs. The social service are, some of them are very good paying jobs. Some of them are sort of on the middle end.
And another job.
And the same thing, the personal care as well.
Well, but you in the report, I want to dwell on that personal care.
Sure.
Because on page 4, Dale, you say that there's this big turnover, 11,400 reductions in the number of home health aides, more than offset, page 4, by an additional 31,000 personal care aides. So that's so we're 11,400 reduction in home health aides, but an upper of 31,000 in personal care aides. So this is a big transition in healthcare.
It is. It's a transition, and we're not exactly sure what's going on here. So the home health aides can do a few provide a few more services than the personal care services mm-hmm. Aides. And so they get paid a little bit more as well. So it's not clear if there's just a lack of supply, and so we're filling in with the personal care aides, or if there's just a transition over to the personal care aides. Now, some of this is happening nationally as well,
yes,
but it's happening to a much bigger degree here.
And the context is, as Wisconsin gets older, we're becoming one of the oldest states,
yes,
or does that
yes.
overstate it?
We're
not.
Right up there.
We're right up there.
Yes.
Okay. Just quickly, architecture and
engineering.
Yes.
So that's So again, that goes back. That sort of goes with the construction. When you're building, you need architects, you need engineers, and so the growth of the construction business. Means more architects, more engineers. The engineers also, we've got a growing manufacturing sector, and so you've got the engineers
We continue to be number one or number two with
Indiana.
Number
two, depending on, yep.
Sure. And then we have legal and production. Let's get, you want to touch on those a little bit?
Well, the production occupations I do want to touch on because, those are, when people talk manufacturing You know, they're thinking of the production occupations. Now, the manufacturing industry has a wide range of occupations as well. But the, you know, we continue to grow manufacturing, so we're continuing to grow the production occupations. And in fact, even though it was only, you know, 12% growth, you know, in terms of total number of jobs created, it was one of the bigger groups.
Right. And we don't have a graphic on this, but the takeaway on this change, the difference, the growing number of occupations and those specific occupations. Here's a takeaway in your report. We don't have a graphic. During 2013, 2018, which is a 5-year window, narrower than your 12 through 18, occupations in science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, grew 13.4%, 18th fastest in the nation. Did this surprise you as a stats wonk?
This surprised me to a great degree, and we beat Minnesota. So, and we're still in the middle in the nation. We're 25th, 26th, et cetera. But in terms of growth, and this fits in with everything that we're seeing in terms of the shift in occupations. Mm-hmm. You know, this transition, we're transitioning to more and more of an economy that. You know, is in the STEM fields. It's still small,
right?
But yeah, we did very well in that 5-year window.
Okay, I want to stop right there because on page 5 of the report, you make this point: Wisconsin is not considered a high tech state. In 2013, 5.4% of Wisconsin jobs were considered STEM by federal standards, ranking us 29th nationally. So we've had this additional demand in these high-tech jobs, but we're still not a high-tech state?
We're not a high-tech state, but I'm going to say, I think the in terms of technology, the STEM occupations kind of underestimates that because manufacturing, remember, we're number two, number one in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. More and more, those production occupations require some understanding and use of technology. So, you know, even the traditional manufacturing jobs are becoming more technology intense. And so the STEM kind of underestimates the use of technology here in Wisconsin.
Okay, before we talk about the additional demands on our educational system, what surprised you in these numbers? The first segment here.
The first segment was the computer and math, the computer and math, and then the overall STEM. We know it's growing, but I would have never said that area, those occupations are growing faster than every other kind of occupation out there.
Is this good news for Wisconsin?
It's good news in Wisconsin because when this gets out, people think of Wisconsin, again, not as a technology state, right. but now...
America's Dairyland.
Yeah. But when you see technology jobs are growing here, that's attractive for bringing people into the state. They're also, you know, when we talk about job creation, we want to create family-supporting jobs. You know, these are very family-supporting jobs. These are $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 jobs.
Well, okay. I do have one more follow-up. When we look at a 29.2% growth in computer and math, is this largely reflective of EPIC in the Madison area and exact science in the Madison area?
That has a big thing to do with it. Obviously, those are growing significantly. But again, you know, even though the Madison area is, you know, a growing has a growing influence on the state, mm-hmm. You know, it's much more than that. So, you know, the computer and math occupations. Those aren't just in high-tech industries. Those are across industries. So, again, manufacturers need technology people. Service industries, to some degree, in some areas, need technology people. So it's much broader than that.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to the second chart, please, where you ranked the jobs increasingly need post-secondary degrees. Can you walk us through this chart, please?
Sure. One of the things that BLS does, in addition to providing all of the job numbers by occupation, they provide information on the education level most often used to get into these occupations. Mm-hmm. And we've talked for years and years and years about how you know, we need, you know, you need more than a high school degree, et cetera. And those often, those trends were showing up nationwide, but they weren't showing up as much in Wisconsin. They are showing up now. So in terms of growth, you know, the kinds of occupations that typically require a high school diploma or less, growing just 6.6%, 2.7% over the 6 years. The overall number of jobs was about 6% growth, so just about average. As you move up the education ladder, you see growth increasing. So by the time you get to a bachelor's degree, almost 12% growth in those kinds of occupations.
Yes.
Master's degrees, it's a relatively small number of occupations in terms of the total, but again, 15% growth. That means that we're, again, we're transitioning, you know, to occupations that need more than a high school degree, whether it's associate degree, bachelor's degree, or even a little bit more.
But how many institutions can give out master's degrees in Wisconsin? Isn't it only like...
There's only a few.
And I'm just intrigued, if you're a doctoral or a college professor, 5% drop there? What happened?
That surprised me.
Excuse me.
And that this is one of those where it didn't make sense to some degree. And so you go to other sources to sort of see what's going on. So I went and I looked at the UW system, one of their fact books.
Yes.
And surprisingly, surprisingly to some degree, the number of faculty at the UW system is actually down between 2012 and 2017, about 5 or 6%. But then when you think about it, you know, in terms of the tight budgets that the UW system has been dealing with for, you know, a decade or so, you know, in a sense, it's not surprising that they're shrinking the number of faculty to some degree.
Well, let's stay with this chart for a follow-up question. The master's degrees. Now, we don't need more master's degrees in political science, arts, and journalism, do we? We need them in these STEM areas?
Does that
oversimplify it?
It oversimplifies it to a degree, I think. I mean, because I think a master's degree, even a bachelor's degree, provides you with thinking abilities and skill sets that are much broader sometimes than your actual major. At the same time, when you look at the computer and math, the architecture, the engineering jobs that we're creating, we also have to think about, as you said, where we're issuing these bachelor's degrees and master's degrees. Are we generating enough engineers, you know, enough architects, enough computer scientists to fill the demand?
Okay. Follow-up question, same question on the second chart. Is this a healthy trend?
I think it's a healthy trend because it's showing that sort of we're evolving with the nation, you know, and again, when you look at pay and education levels, you know, they're related. We want to create family supporting jobs, and while there are family supporting jobs in construction, in the trades, et cetera, that only require a high school diploma or a high school diploma plus some other training.
Yes.
You know, as you move up the ladder, the jobs of the future are going to require more education, and so we're heading in that direction.
What does this say about the balance between our 4-year universities and our tech colleges, Dale? This jobs, I'm sorry, the academic, what you need. In terms of degrees to get these jobs?
Well, the one thing I will say, so in terms of bachelor's degree or more, when you look at that, we still have more residents with a bachelor's degree or more than we have occupations, you know, in that require that. So there's still a little bit of an imbalance. But a part of that, again, goes back to what you were talking about, is where are those degrees in? Are they in computer science, et cetera, mm-hmm. or are they in something else, political science? So there's a mismatch there still. But it also means that as we look forward, we have to make sure that we're investing in the tech colleges, in the university system, to make sure that were keeping up with the demand for you know, those type of credentials.
There's a quote on page 7 of the report that I want to ask you about. The largest increase in job numbers during 2012-2018, that six-year window, was in occupations that typically required a high school diploma. How does that reconcile with this chart 2?
Well, so this is where you want to look at job growth sort of in two ways. One is the absolute number of jobs. Over half of our jobs in Wisconsin require a high school diploma or less. They don't require the advanced education. And so in terms of total numbers, those are still the ones that are being created, you know, in terms of number of jobs. The percentage tells us sort of how we're transitioning. So in other words, when you look at the bachelor's degree numbers, mm-hmm. In 2012 we had about 25% of our jobs were there, but 38% of the growth was in those kinds of occupations. So it shows that we're transitioning, and still in terms of the total number, we're at the you know, not a lot of education, but we're transitioning, and that's why we call it an economic evolution. We're transitioning to an economy that requires more.
It seems to me that you cite the overall trend here, again on page 7, general pattern of higher paying occupations growing faster than lower paying ones. And now you have a quote that I want to highlight here. During 2012-2018, the number of jobs and occupations that paid an average of $73,000 or more grew 16%, significantly more than lower-paying ones. Mike, why did you pick $73,000? Is that a working definition?
No. What we did was we took all of the occupations, and we divided them into 10 equal groups of jobs. So basic deciles, and that just happened to be what the average was in that top decile. And this is the piece that probably surprised me the most, is that
really?
when you organize, you know, low paying to high paying jobs, the jobs at the very bottom end, the minimum wage kinds of jobs,
examples,
fast food restaurants, dishwashers, etc. Those kinds of jobs did not grow at all. The number of jobs did not grow at all during 2012-18.
Did their pay grow?
Their pay did grow.
Okay.
The average pay did grow, but the number of jobs didn't. The jobs at the very high end grew 16%, so over twice as fast as the overall job growth. And when you looked at sort of the along that entire spectrum, you see that same pattern to some degree. So those at the higher end grew faster than those at the lower end. But that's what that's a big thing that surprised me. Other studies that have done similar things in other states have not shown that mismatch. We're seeing a transition in our economy to growing higher paying jobs, and I think there's some reasons for that.
The great disparity in America on this mythical income to have a family supporting job. You've seen the numbers.
Yes.
They vary. San Francisco, let's not go there. But if you're in parts of Iowa, we can go there. So here's my question. $73,000 a year. Is that generally considered a family supporting income in Wisconsin?
Well, again, that would be definitely. I mean, the average earnings in the state is a little over $55,000. The average household income.
Household income.
Remember, now these are individual occupations, so this is one earner. So it would be significantly above the household income, yes.
Okay, but this is kind of dangerous. Two wonks mm-hmm. here, but our per capita income is still lower than Minnesota's, isn't it?
Yes.
Like by $5,000?
Yes.
Why? What are they doing so much better?
Minneapolis. They have a very large, a metro area that's twice as large as our biggest metro area. That accounts for 2/3 of their economy. The Milwaukee metro area accounts for about 1/3 of ours. Our economy is much more spread out. And so Minneapolis has that, a lot of high-tech businesses there, more white-collar there. And again, that's 2/3 of their economy, and that explains a lot of it.
Okay. I want to go to the last quote here, which is one of the conclusions. The takeaway. Recent growth patterns reinforce Wisconsin's need to continue investing in education, both at the K-12 and the post-secondary levels. They also highlight the need to ensure everyone leaves school, whether high school or a post-secondary institution, with the education and skills required in a changing economy. Boil that down.
Well, I think when people look at the graphic that you put up in terms of the education levels, mm-hmm. The first question is, oh, that means we need to invest more in our university system and tech colleges, and there's truth to that. But I would point out that this goes back to, this says something also about education, you know, at the high school level and below. We have less than 3% unemployment in this state.
Yes.
Which we meet.
You write in the report here. Let me read it. For the most part, every Wisconsinite who wants a job has one. Excuse me, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
So we have, you know, 3% unemployment. As we talked about, even manufacturing occupations require some sets of skills coming out. So they only require, say, a high school diploma, but there's some job skills that we need. But with 2.5-3% unemployment, we need everybody that wants to work able to work and have the skills. So even at the high school level, we need to make sure that everyone that graduates is coming out with some sort of job skill, some ability to enter the workforce and be productive. So it's not just the university and the tech colleges. It goes back to the high schools as well, that we have to make sure that we're preparing everybody to be able to be successful in the workforce.
But I've always been intrigued by Wisconsin higher education industry. We have a number, more than 20 private colleges and universities. We have then 26 UW campuses, and now we folded the centers into the 4 years, mm-hmm. and now there's this debate over K-12, and local voters have approved referendums for more than $2 billion with a B. It may even be as high as $2.8 billion over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So do you think Wisconsin is fulfilling what you ask for in this report, that we are continuing to invest in our post-secondary and higher ed systems?
Well, we saw a little bit more investment in this budget, but it's not necessarily just more dollars, but you know, within the system, you know, again, we have to make sure that we're using those dollars correctly and make sure that we're graduating people with degrees that you know are needed in the workforce.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to come out of the UW with $30,000 in debt or $35,000 or $20,000, you want to make sure that you have the skills to get a job that can pay that debt off. It's not just dollars, but it's also we have to make sure that we're graduating in the right areas as well to some degree.
Okay, but as a student of your work, now I want to link your April report, Falling Behind, Migration Changes in State Workforce, to this latest report. So this is what you said in April. Wisconsin has too few young people to replace retiring baby boomers over the next 15 years, so the state must turn to migration to grow its workforce. However, in the window 2010 to 2015, the state lost population among key workforce groups, with the most troubling being the net out-migration of young families, a group that Wisconsin typically attracted. So take your April research and your new report, Evolution. What does it mean for the future of Wisconsin's workforce and economy?
So I think what this is telling us, so the change in migration patterns from 2010 to 15 is exacerbating the worker shortage that we have now. It would be much less had we just continued the patterns of before. So that's a problem. And that's part of the reason that there's no job growth at the bottom. Everybody's being pushed up at this point.
Yeah.
But as we look forward, the demographic problem in this state is going to become worse and worse.
As we age,
you and I retire.
Our best and brightest.
As we export our best and brightest, and as you and I retire, we don't have enough young people at this point to fill those jobs. So I would argue that not only, you know, it's not only about education, et cetera, but for decades, you know, we have been focused, Wisconsin and across the country, on creating jobs, bringing in new companies, et cetera. We now have a people problem here. We don't have enough people to fill the jobs that we have now, much less those coming in. So to some degree, we really have to pivot to workforce development, bringing in people to the best that we can. We have some control over that, not total control, but making sure that the people that we have, the workforce that we have, has the skills that we're going to need. So it's really about, from now on, it's about workforce development here.
I understand, but I want to ask about regional issues. Southeast Wisconsin, Foxconn, Amazon, the candy maker. Are they taking our current and future workforce at the expense of northern Wisconsin?
Well, to the extent, the answer to that is yes, to the extent that young people and families from the north migrate down for those jobs. So I think there will be some. You know, they're also going to create worker shortages much more serious in southeastern Wisconsin as well. The northern issue is a whole nother issue. It's not just about those jobs here. It's about the young people that go to college. Where do they go to college? They move south. That's where all of our campuses basically are.
Yeah.
It used to be that a significant number of them would go back. The report earlier this spring shows that they're not going back anymore. So, you know, the workforce problem up there is much more significant than it is down here, because there's a couple of counties up there already that have 30% of their population 65 or older.
Right, and they're getting older.
And they're getting older. In
right.
10 years, it's going to be 40%. I don't know how you have a vibrant economy when you have a shrinking workforce, you know, and shrinking rather rapidly. So there's a lot of other challenges for the North.
Okay, Dale. I really respect your research. So here's maybe one of my last questions.
Okay.
You're giving a speech to the graduating class of 2020 at a large Wisconsin high school, in terms of asking them to think about their careers, where they should go, tech colleges, four-year colleges. Congratulations. You're the graduation speaker. What advice do you give them? Or their parents?
My first piece of advice, and it has little to do with this, is find a job that you like going to work every day to. You'll be happy. You'll be much more happy. But at the same time, you know, that doesn't pay the bills necessarily. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But the other thing is, so we already have a shortage in the trades, in electricians and plumbers, et cetera, HVAC. You can make a good living that.
Yes.
If you like the outdoors, if you like, northern Wisconsin has an even worse shortage of those people. You can make a very good living and have all the recreation, et cetera, that you want. Now, at the same time, we have to do something about the internet up there and about technology.
And healthcare. Yes.
Again, there are people don't think there's opportunities in the north. There are opportunities if that's what you like. We also have great urban opportunities in the state. So before you think about moving to Minneapolis or Chicago, et cetera, you know, there are a lot of opportunities here. But find, and you don't have to make those decisions right away necessarily. You know, we ask our young people to make life choice decisions right out of high school, and sometimes that's not probably the best idea.
That's true. Okay, where can somebody go to read a copy of this report, your latest report?
They can go to forward-analytics.net.
Okay.
So,
And the Department of Revenue's come out with its new equalized assessment figures, but that's a topic for another show.
That is.
Dale Knapp, Director of Forward Analytics, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisi.org to make a donation today.